إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونسترشده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق بشيرا ونذيرا ورحمة للعالمين. فبلغ صلى الله عليه وسلم الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، فجزاه الله خير ما جزى نبي عن أمته. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الكرام، فكلنا نعلم أن شهر رمضان المبارك قد اقترب منا، وإن الله عز وجل قد قال عن هذا الشهر المبارك: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. فبين سبحانه وتعالى في هذه الآية أنه أوجب الصيام، وأنه أوجبه على الأمم السابقة، وأنه أوجبها لهدف مهم، ألا وهو تنمية تقوى الله في القلوب. Indeed, our praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the creator, sustainer and regulator of the universe and all within. Thus we praise Him and we thank Him for His infinite grace, blessings and mercy. We believe in Him and put our trust in Him. We also seek refuge with Allah from the evil inclinations of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Know that whoever chooses guidance, there is none to misguide him or her. And whoever chooses misguidance, there is none to guide him or her. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. He is one and has no partner. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and messenger of Allah, whom Allah sent with the religion of truth and with guidance, as a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and as a source of mercy for the universe. In the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed the message that Allah revealed to him, and he discharged the trust that was placed on his shoulders, and he left the best of advice for his ummah, and he struggled in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of his ability. So we pray that Allah will reward him with the best of rewards. Dear brothers and sisters, we are all well aware that the month of Ramadan is fairly close. And soon, everybody will become very hyped about the month of Ramadan and about fasting and about iftar and about Taraweeh. But as we know very well, brothers and sisters, whatever we do as Muslims, whether it is relating to ibadat or mu'amalat for that matter, whatever we do, the ultimate objective of what we do in this life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be the objective. Whether it is in reality or not is a different story. But that should be the objective of every Muslim. That whatever he or she does, it is pleasing to Allah. Because if it is pleasing to Allah, brothers and sisters, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that deed. And only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the deed from the person, that the person will receive benefit from that, in particular in the hereafter. And so with the month of Ramadan coming, it is no different from everything else. To do a good job, we need to prepare. And we have this experience in our everyday lives. You're called for an interview, you spend weeks, many hours, sleepless nights preparing for the interview. asking, talking to people, asking them what to expect in the interview, getting some ideas of what kind of questions may come in the interview and how to answer and respond to these questions. So we're very familiar with the idea and the concept that preparation is important for success. And this is no different, brothers and sisters, with the month of Ramadan and with Hajj and so on. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in a hadith that is sahih, graded as sahih by Shaykh al-Albani, he sums up the virtues and the blessings of Ramadan. And then he leaves with us an extremely important and vital piece of advice. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith, Atakum shahru Ramadan. The month of Ramadan has come upon you. Shahrun Mubarak. It's a blessed month. We know this. Faradallahu alaykum siyama. Allah has made compulsory upon you its fasting. Tuftahu fihi abwabul jannah. The doors in it of the doors of paradise in this month are opened. Wa tughlaqu fihi abwabul jahim. And in it the doors of the hellfire are closed. Wa tughallu fihi maradatu shayatin. And in it the devils among the jinn are chained. وَفِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ هِيَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. And in it, there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. So here, up until here, the Prophet ﷺ highlights for us فَضَائِلُ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. He highlights for us the tremendous and the great blessings and virtues of Ramadan. But then he leaves behind with us, brothers and sisters, a word of caution. He said, "Man hurima khayruha faqad hurim." Whoever is deprived of the blessings of this month, of the goodness of this month, has indeed been deprived. But the question is, brothers and sisters, how can one be deprived of the blessings of Ramadan? I mean, they're there, we know what they are. But if we were to ask ourselves, how can someone be deprived of these blessings? Perhaps the most obvious answer that we will come up with is, well, by not doing what we're supposed to do. And this is certainly true. If we don't do what we should be doing in the month, then we can never hope to achieve the blessings, of course. But that's just one aspect, brothers and sisters, of how a person might be deprived of the blessings of Ramadan. The point is, a person might very well be doing, at least physically and literally, all the right things, and yet be deprived of the blessings of Ramadan. So when the Prophet alayhi salam in this hadith, when he tells us, Man hurima khayruha faqad hurim, whoever is deprived from its goodness and its blessings is indeed one who is deprived. He is not telling us so much about not doing what you're supposed to do. Because that's the easy part. People do what they're supposed to do. But what he's getting at is the mindset that we have when we do these things. So not only is it important that we act, brothers and sisters, amal, deeds are important. There is no doubt about that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear that He will not just accept the deeds that are performed and that's it. That He will only accept our deeds based upon the motivation with which we do these things. And so as we prepare for this month that is coming in a few weeks, we need not to worry about, oh, it's going to be hard, the days are long. It's fairly cool these days still, alhamdulillah. But we're always worried in the summertime. The days are long and the temperature is high. But we all know, brothers and sisters, that for the first few days it's a bit of a struggle, and then after that the body adjusts. and it is able to cope with the extended hours of not eating and drinking. That's not really so much of the problem. The problem is the mindset that we have as we approach this month and we enter into the month and then we leave the month. And this is exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in the famous ayah we all know about fasting, that the objective of fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you may develop taqwa. And inshallah you will hear more about the details of what taqwa is. But taqwa boils down to being a mindset, an awareness that a person has that directs them in life, that guides them in life. An awareness that a person has that affects and influences their choices and their decisions, how they behave, where they go, where they don't go, what they say, how they speak. And the evidence, brothers and sisters, that it is absolutely necessary and vital that we pay more attention to the motivation with which we do things, especially Ramadan, fasting in Ramadan here since it's on our doorstep. The evidence of this is in a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and you know the hadith. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made it clear in this hadith that going through the physical motions of the fast and the qiyam in the nights, this will not cut it. It will not do it. It might do it for people. We see each other fasting and praying. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not cut it. Unless and until the motivation is correct. Until we pay attention to the motivation. So in this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابًا. Whoever does not give up useless talk, this is while fasting, whoever does not give up useless conversations, قَوْلَ الزُّورِ, lying and everything else that is useless, أَعْلَاهَا طَبْعًا الْكَذِبِ, the worst of useless speeches is lying. وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, and acting based on that useless talk. In other words, as the scholars tell us, acting in a way that is unbecoming while fasting. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابًا. Allah has no need for that person to give up his food and drink. Meaning that if a person is not conscious of their motivation as to why they're fasting and how they behave while fasting, then all they're doing is depriving themselves from food and drink. It's not ibadah, brothers and sisters. To the other person, it may seem like ibadah. And of course, we don't know what the heart conceals. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows the secrets of the hearts, the secrets that are concealed in the breast and in the chest of people. It is not enough. It's not ibadah. It is simply an exercise of deprivation in food and drink. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابًا. Allah has no need for that person to give up their food and drink. Because the objective is not to simply give up food and drink. That's part of it. More than that is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to behave in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the big question is, how do we prepare? As I said, we're all often worried about the first few days because, you know, the body has to get accustomed to. Well, one of the things we could do, if you're afraid of that, is in Sha'ban, fast some days in Sha'ban. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as we're told in the hadith in the Sahih, besides the month of Ramadan, this is the month that he would fast the most. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah, in commenting on this hadith, mentions one possible reason why the Prophet alayhi salam fasted so much in Sha'ban. He said that this is the time when often the wives of the Prophet ﷺ would only get the time to make up for the fasting they have missed the year before in the month of Sha'ban. Just before the next Ramadan comes in. So the Prophet ﷺ would fast as a show of support and solidarity with them. But in addition to that, perhaps the Prophet ﷺ also fasted in order to get his own body physically in shape and prepared for the rigors of fasting. But as we all know very well, after a few days in the month of Ramadan, the body itself will adjust and become accustomed to it. It's no longer that difficult. So practicing physically by fasting some days before Ramadan will surely help. But the real preparation for fasting, brothers and sisters, is not so much in trying to get the body physically accustomed to the extended hours of no food and drink, but rather to influence the mindset that we have as we approach this month and we enter into it. Perhaps the best preparation we can do is to know the message and understand the message. You know, brothers and sisters, when the month of Ramadan comes, all of us were proud and happy to stand in Salatul Taraweeh to listen to the Quran. We even say that Ramadan is Shahrul Quran. And we quote the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rightly so, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. But what we fail to gather is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply did not say, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. He didn't say that alone. He said something else. He said, هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. In this ayah, Allah tells us two things. One, that it was in Ramadan He revealed the Qur'an. And two, He told us also of the purpose of the revelation of the Qur'an, the objective. Why did He reveal it in Ramadan? Why did He reveal the Qur'an in the first place? He says, هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, as guidance for mankind. And your guide is only effective, brothers and sisters. You can only learn from your guide and benefit from your guide if you understand the language of communication. So we're proud to listen to the Quran, but we pay very little attention to the message of the Quran. We hear the words, we have no clue what they mean. But perhaps if we knew some of what it means, not everything, I don't presume we can memorize the translation of the Quran, the whole Quran. We find it hard to memorize the Quran alone, let alone the translation. But if we know and have some idea of the message, maybe when we stand in Taraweeh and we listen to this Quran, brothers and sisters, we will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much more. Rather than just standing there, hearing sounds. Sometimes the recitation is so fast we can't even make out the words. And then we go through the physical motions and postures of the salah. So in addition to fasting some days before Ramadan comes, maybe we should begin to read the Quran. A translation of the Quran in a language we know and understand well. So we can familiarize ourselves with the message of the Qur'an. Because the primary purpose of the Qur'an is not that we recite it for thawab. That is there, of course. But the primary objective of the revelation of the Qur'an is as a source of guidance for people. And no one can benefit from anything that is good unless they understand that something. They understand what's there, they know what's there. So do we know what's there, what is in the Qur'an? Do we understand what is in the Qur'an? Practicing this message, brothers and sisters, living by the message that Allah has revealed inevitably makes a person and leads a person to have a greater consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by practicing, we literally increase our level of awareness and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very good test, brothers and sisters, that will demonstrate to us, and you know, this is not something we should judge one another by the way, but it is just something for each individual to think about himself and herself. A good test that each one of us can use to gauge our mental attitude regarding the month of Ramadan that is full of so many blessings is what happens at iftar time. What happens at iftar time? I challenge myself and all of you, brothers and sisters, that in this Ramadan, when we show up at the masjid for iftar, I challenge myself and all of you, be the last person in line for food, not the first. And how many of us, by the way, have had the experience where the food ran out and you got nothing to eat? How did you feel? Were you angry? Were you upset? What's wrong with these people? We fasted whole day, now we're hungry and there is no food? Or were you relaxed? Were you conscious of the fact, okay, I didn't get to eat, fine, but at least my brother got to eat, alhamdulillah for that. In any case, brothers and sisters, we all know this for a fact. You're not going to die if you don't get dinner time at iftar time, if you don't get dinner at iftar time. At the very least, you will go home and you will eat something. Or as some brothers do, they go to some fancy restaurants and get some nice food. But my point is, brothers and sisters, when this Ramadan comes, let us pay attention to our personal feelings and emotions at the time of iftar. How do we feel? Do we want to get food early so that the food doesn't run out? Or we get, you know, the best of the food so we don't just get rice alone without any meat or chicken? What is our mindset? In addition to that, brothers and sisters, it is extremely, extremely sad to see that in the month when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wants to teach us that we should appreciate His blessings, His ni'mah, in terms of food, this is the month we waste the most. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, brothers and sisters, in a hadith in the Sahih, one day he left his home and he ran into Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and he asked them, مَا الَّذِي أَخْرَجَكُمَا مِن بُيُوتِكُمَا, what brought you out of your homes at this hour? And they said to the Prophet alayhi salam, الجوع, hunger, we're hungry. And the Prophet alayhi salam said to them, that which have brought you out of your homes has also brought me out of my home. So the three of them started walking, and soon after, another companion invited them home and gave them something to eat without knowing that they were hungry or whatever. And as they were eating, brothers and sisters, and what were they eating? Dates and perhaps water. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, while they were eating, he picked up a date, one date. And he said to, and of course Abu Bakr is there and Umar is there and the other companion. And he said to them, and he looked at the date, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ وَهَذِهِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ الَّتِي سَوْفَ يُسْأَلْ عَنْهَا الْإِنسَانِ. He recited the ayah we all know in Surah Al-Hakumu Al-Takathur. Allah says, then on that day will you be questioned about all the blessings and the bounties you received, al-na'im. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you see this one date? This is from the na'im that people will be questioned about. This was the mindset of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the mindset that he trained the companions with, that he instilled in them, so that even after he passed away, they continued to live with the same mindset. So that when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, once as the Khalifa, came home and found that his wife had prepared some nice food, and he asked her, "Where did you get this food? Because we're not accustomed to eating this." She said, "Well, every time your salary comes home, I was able to save a little bit. And over the months, I was able to put a little bit together, and that's why we have this nice food today." Brothers and sisters, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, you know what he said to his wife? He said, "You know what? In that case, I'm being paid too much. I'm being overpaid." So he went to the treasury, the Bayt al-Mal, the next day. And he told them, "Decrease the pay, it's too much." This is the mindset that the Sahaba had from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is how, or this is why they were successful. They were blessed in this world, and Allah the Exalted spoke very highly of them in the hereafter. So it is time that each one of us, brothers and sisters, as this month comes and it approaches and it's getting nearer by the day, that we take some time and sit down, think about our own selves, and about our own attitude, our own perspectives that we have regarding Ramadan and all these blessings, and what we can achieve and what we can't achieve, how we behave, how we don't behave. And then as we begin the month of Ramadan and we're fasting every day, day after day, let us also pay attention to our attitude and our behavior as we go through the month. At the end of the day, you know, you're tired and you're hungry. But are you still kind and courteous to people around you? Are you still able to speak nicely to them, as opposed to being angry because you're hungry, and yell at them or scream at them or speak harshly to them? Pay attention to your own attitude, brothers and sisters. And this will open our eyes as to whether we're truly benefiting from the blessings of this month or not. And remember the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Whoever is deprived of its goodness or its blessings, man hurima khayruha faqad hurim." Whoever is deprived from the blessings of this month is indeed deprived. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May He open our hearts and minds so that we can understand and comprehend this wonderful message He has revealed for the betterment and the upliftment of mankind in this world as well as in the next world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us all to live by this message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be among those who diligently strive to emulate the example and the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be from the people of Quran and Sunnah, and protect us from going astray and giving in to the temptations and the seductions of shaitan and his army of humans and jinns. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الله. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. Let us also send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah, for Allah has commanded us to do so in the Quran when He said, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد ورد اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين الأئمة المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن بقية أصحاب نبيك أجمعين وعنا معهم بمنك ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكفرة والملحدين وانصر عبادك الموحدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين والمظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم أفرغ عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الفاسقين وانصرهم على القوم الظالمين وانصرهم على القوم المجرمين. اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا واجعلهم هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين. Let us also pray for our brothers and sisters who are sick and suffering. Allahumma rabba nasi adhib al-ba's. Allahumma ashfi mardana wa marda al-muslimin. Allahumma rabba nasi adhib al-ba's. Ishfi anta shafi. Ishfi anta shafi. Ishfi anta shafi. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk. Shifa'an la yugadiru saqma. Allahumma khaffif alamahum. O Allah, we ask you to ease their pain and suffering. وَيَسِلْ لَهُمْ أُمُورَ حَيَاتِهِمْ, and to make easy for them the affairs of their lives. اللهم ألهمهم الصبر والثبات والرضا بما قضيت. And O Lord, we ask you to inspire them with patience and steadfastness to accept and to submit to what you have decreed. اللهم آجرهم في مصيبتهم وأخلف لهم خيرا منها يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ربنا لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم المبارك ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا ولدا إلا أصلحته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا مسافرا إلا رددته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا يسرتها وقضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى اعتدلوا استقيموا وتراصوا. Please straighten the lines, fill in the gaps, stand as close as possible to each other so that we can accommodate everyone. Brothers at the door, please move to the stage area. Make sure the lines up there are all filled so that we have in the end just one line that is not or may not be completely filled.